Hello again, YouTube. David Creel, high performance Ziegler coach, with my friend and fellow coach, Lori. How are you today, Lori?
Hello.
How's
wonderful. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. So I live in the Houston area and you live a little bit more north than that. So are y'all snowed in at the moment or is it sunny?
Not particularly. It's just very frigid cold as of yesterday and today. We have a light dusting of snow on the ground, but nothing to really get excited about as us Michiganders like to do. So.
Okay. Well, today in the Houston area, it's overcast and about 65. So, oh well. So.
I love the snow.
So. Okay. Well, I love the snow too. I just love seeing it and then leaving, not staying. That's a different story.
It really doesn't last that long.
I believe you. So, first off, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for asking.
And number two, what would make this an extraordinary conversation for you?
What would make it an extraordinary conversation? I think what would make it an extraordinary conversation would be to get your thoughts on what the difference is, what exactly a life coach does, because I have been asked that multiple times, and it seems like I'm really not getting the point across of exactly what a life coach does. So I'd really like to know what your thoughts are on exactly what a life coach does.
What do you think a life coach does?
And this is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
This is what I'm hearing. Why should I hire a life coach? Because it seems like if I would hire a coach, that would mean that somebody has it totally all put together. And my response is, we're all a work in progress. There are some things that I've gone through my life that I feel like I can be a benefit to. Mm-hmm. So what, in your opinion, would be a good answer?
So what do you think a life coach does?
I think a life coach, personally for me, I think a life coach does gets into the hearts of people. I like to call myself a heart farmer and actually get into the heart and dig down and reach down and ask a series of questions and find out exactly what makes them tick to get them to their goals, visions, and dreams so that they can live their God-ordained purpose.
Okay, so that's quite the mouthful. That wouldn't fit on a business card.
Exactly.
How do you do that? How do you tap into the parts of their heart? Yeah. Like, what's the process? What does it look like?
What does it look like? First of all, I really like to sit down with somebody or talk to them over the phone, or just like what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And ask them some questions, and through conversing, finding out more about them and finding out what their passions are, finding out if one of the things that I really like to do is find out if they're working just to make money or are they working to serve and really enjoying what they're doing at work. That is one of the things that I really enjoy listening to people's answers on. And then with that, ask them questions like, so if life was any different for you, what would it look like? Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So what I hear from people say, so you are a counselor. No, not a counselor. Being solution focused rather than looking back into the past to see what makes you do some of the things that you do. That's another question I get.
Okay, so if you tell someone you're a life coach, they immediately think you're a counselor?
Correct.
And what do you say, what's your response to that when they ask you if you're a counselor?
I say absolutely not. But we do get into conversations where the past does come up here and there. And it makes me understand why you do some of the things that you do or why a person does some of the things that they do. But as far as getting into looking into why some of the things happened in the past, that's not something that I really do. It's more goal focused, solution focused, and let's make this year the best year of your life yet.
Okay. Yeah. Because if someone very occasionally I've had someone say, so you're like a counselor, and I tell them, no, counselor kind of focuses and deals more in the past. And I'm more concerned about what's going forward. What's going to be the change that you want to see going forward, because you can't do anything about the last 5 seconds or the last 5 years or the last 50 years. It's gone. You can't. Now you can change how you see things going forward. But I think that's the main difference between counseling and coaching is counseling, while it's very valid and some people need counseling for trauma or whatever they went through. But it's easy just to dwell in the past when you can't do anything about it anyway.
Correct.
Where a coach is like, okay, all that stuff that happened, I mean, join the club. You know, what all that stuff's happened to you, you're not the only person that's ever gone through whatever you've gone through. And there's been people that have gone through what you've gone through that are now on the other side of it, and they're excelling and they have great lives and they have, you know, whatever. Exactly. But the like coaching, you and I. What's that?
Like you and I, we've gone through different things and are on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the distinction is what happens to most people in some shape or form happens to everyone.
Right.
So then it's
right.
Yes, acknowledge that it's there, but okay. So now that that's happened, instead of something happening to you, it happened for you.
Amen.
Because yes, whatever
good.
Happened,
that's really good.
You can go like Esther in the Bible. You know, all the stuff that she went through, but who better to talk to the king than Esther? Because she was the queen. She had access to the king where no one else had. So who better to go through, who better to help others go through something similar than something that they've gone through, except people who have gone through it, and they can empathize because they know how you feel. Like, for example, if you have, say you're pregnant and you have a male doctor, he can tell you what you're experiencing, but he's never actually experienced it. Where if you have a female doctor who's also a mother, she can be, I've been there. I'm going to walk you through it together because I've been in your shoes, and then we can go forward.
And more empathetic too, besides, and exactly what is needed to pull somebody out of their comfort zone too, because how realistically, and I know you little personally, so I kind of figure what your answer is going to be. But percentage of your life, you live in your comfort zone, how much compared to like comfort, stretch, panic zone type thing? What would you say that as on a percentage, your life is lived in the comfort zone? How much?
The number that comes to me is 80%.
80?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you learn in the comfort zone as compared to in the stretch zone?
Not much.
Not much.
Because you you don't think of a rubber band. A rubber band's only effective when it's stretched. So
exactly.
When you have it, whenever you're stretching, you're learning more things or you're creating more things or like, okay. But like, for example, before I hit record, I asked you, do you know what you want to talk about? And you said, no. And I went, awesome. Okay. So this is a stretch. I didn't know what you were going to say. So I had to on the fly, come up with some questions. Because I had no idea what you're going to say until you said it.
Right, right, right.
So
wouldn't you honestly, though, rather live more percentage in the stretch zone? Because in the stretch zone, it seems like that's where you're, like you said, more effective, but that's where you're learning more. And using the stretch zone as a time to that you can implement into your life more.
Yes. Ideally, it would be. Well, let me take that back. I probably misinterpreted comfort. When I hear comfort, I hear stress-free, you know, just kind of things are okay, no problem. So I would say probably closer to a coin flip.
Yeah, okay. 50-50. All right.
Because I read all the time. I'm always learning. But you can learn all you want, but you have to implement. If you don't implement, you're just wasting your time.
Exactly. So I believe that being a life coach pushes people out of that comfort zone and pushes them more into the stretch zone and touching on the panic zone to learn what's going on in the stretch zone so that they can use the things that they're learning in the stretch zone, in the panic zone, to turn some of those things that make people panic and bring them more into the comfort zone and use it as not something that's totally gives them anxiety or stay away from, but use it as a learning type of period in their life. So thanks for clearing that up as thinking, you know, the comfort zone. So with that said, then, what would you say that you spend the majority of your percentage of your time in the comfort zone then? Comfort zone being, you know, activities. I know you like to golf. So the comfort zone of golfing, that's your comfort zone, but yet still golfing can be stretching too, because you're always learning, always advancing, always trying different techniques, I'm sure, to improve your game. But it's still something you do for self-care. So what would you say?
Well, I'd say golfing is true, but it also depends on the day. Like if I'm hitting the ball really well, then it's no problem. But if I'm hitting the ball all over the lot, I'm not one to be around. So I would say if you could do around 50%, because then you have time to learn and you take have time to take for yourself, but then you have the other percent where you stretch and then you learn more. And then the scales tip to where, because once your boundaries stretch, they can't go back. So now you can expand further and you can stretch further. Mm-hmm. But once, until you get stretched, you don't know. Basically, like, for example, if you ask me to go out there and do a high jump like they do at the Olympics,
right?
I wouldn't have the slightest clue what I could jump over. Right. I've never tried.
Right.
But the only way I know what I can jump over is I've got to tip the bar over. Because if I don't knock the bar off, I just keep jumping. Because if it's like you put it to a foot, I guarantee you I can jump over a foot. I guarantee it, no problem. I mean, I can step over it, so I can definitely jump over it. But you put it where it's 4 foot, 4.5 foot, 5 foot, 6 foot, you won't know what your ceiling is until you knock the bar off. Then it's like, okay, my stretch is I can go 5 foot and 4 inches, but I can't go 5 foot 7 inches. I can get over, I can get over, I can't get over. Okay, that's the new goal.
Right.
So,
right.
What I think you said, I mean, that was just off the top of your head, but what you just said is exactly what the difference in a life coach and a counselor. It's
you're right.
Stretching, getting, finding out what your limits are.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't know until you know, because you'll know because you start failing. Once you fail, you know, okay, there's my limit.
Right. Yeah, I know that's just been something that I've been thinking more in the last 24 hours than, and that the question of comfort zone, stretch zone, panic zone, going into a new year, what I want to bring in from last year into the next year, how I want to push people a little bit more, and make them, not make them see, but try and get them to realize exactly the resources that they have inside of them, that they own where they really want to go. But seeing that, pulling them out of their comfort zone and bringing them into that stretch zone and letting them see that that's exactly where the most growth is going to happen. And you talking about a rubber band, talking about even a pregnant lady, the most growth is going to happen in that stretch zone. Completely.
Well said.
So, I'm sorry?
Well said.
Yeah. So you mentioned that doing the high jump, and you said, so that becomes the new goal. And I know you and I had this great conversation on expectations a couple of weeks ago. And so can you tell me what your thoughts are when you said that's your new goal? Can you tell me, would in this situation be that would be your new expectation of yourself? Is that a good word to use? Or do you think goals and expectations of yourself are two different things?
Yes and no. I think if you have an agreement instead of an expectation, or you have a commitment, like there's difference in I'm trying to versus I'm committing to doing this. Like, for example, I weigh 200 pounds. And I want to weigh 150 pounds by whatever.
Right.
Labor Day 2023. I'm just making this up.
Right. Right.
There's a difference in being intentional about losing the weight versus being committed to losing the weight. If you're committed, you're all in. You're going to do whatever it takes to hit that goal. But if you have an intention to do it, you may not play full out.
So a goal and an expectation is a, so would you say a goal is you have an intention and an expectation of yourself is more of something that you're probably going to hit?
Well, yes. Because if you, well, it also depends on the person. Gretchen Rubin wrote a book called The Four Tendencies, and it's how you naturally show up. So they have questioner, rebel, like questioner, like you're always questioning everything, no matter what. Rebel, like you tell someone they can't do it, they're a rebel, they're going to prove you wrong. There's a obliger, which is most coaches, which is our people person, people. And there's upholders.
Obligers?
Obliger, like I'm going to oblige my will to yours.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Right. And then, but that's what makes great coaches, because they're not thinking about themselves, they're thinking about the other person.
Right, right.
But it's often to a detriment of yourself, because you're the only one that you've got to take care of first. And then there's upholders, which are letter of the law, never break the rule, never speed. Okay. So I'm an obliger. That's what I am. So for like a weight loss goal or a physical goal or whatever, sometimes obligers, which is me, and most of the people are obligers, most people need external accountability in order to hit their goals. In some areas, in some areas. But
right.
We lack the insides to keep your word to yourself. We're super great at keeping your commitment to others, but whenever you don't keep it to yourself, you're like, oh, it's only me. It's no big deal. So
that's interesting.
So I'm an obliger. So I have a weight loss goal that I'm going to have it done by my birthday in July. And every 3 times a week, I'm texting 2 people that are expecting a text from me, and they have full permission, if I don't send them a text, to, give me a little pow-pow, you know? I needed that external motivation, because I don't want to let them down, because I gave them my word.
Right, right. Because we'd rather die than not keep our word.
Yes. Well, most people.
Yeah.
But
right, right.
But that goes also back to your agreements versus expectations. Because if you have an expectation, let's say today, you know, we decided to meet at 10:45 Central. Well, what if you, for an hour, what if you lived in California and you thought it was 10:45 your time?
Right.
We would both not be happy with each other.
Exactly.
But since we had an agreement, you don't like to break your word, I don't like to break my word. And
right.
We agreed 10:45 Central. So we met at 10:45 because we had an agreement.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And going back to that agreement expectation conversation, that's kind of pushed me out of my comfort zone into a stretch zone, because now in every conversation, I am thinking, all right, do I have any expectations here? And if so, I need to talk about turning these into an agreement. And so that has actually pushed me out of my comfort zone into a stretch zone, by keeping that in the forefront of my thoughts in probably 95% of my conversations. So great talk. Great, great, great talk. Definitely.
Awesome. So,
yeah,
thanks for joining me today.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed talking with you, Mr. David, always, always, and always stretching me in conversation, which I love to talk to people that, have this way of wanting to stretch people, wanting them to live their best life. And I definitely have to say, you are one of those people. Every time I walk away, I have learned something new, and I have a takeaway every time. And a lot of times I'll sit back and process the conversation, and it's made a definite difference in my life. Thank you.
Thank you for the kind words. I received that. Have a great day.
Great.
Bye.
You too. And I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you.
Same to you. Have a great one.
Bye.